Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The wall-to-wall coverage of the Depp Heard case and the Agatha Christie trial reminded us of our obsession with gossip, whether it's a famous athlete, a Hollywood star, or just the next-door neighbour. We do love hearing about other people's business, don't we? But the question is, why? Well, to talk more about this, I'm joined in the studio by GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry and also Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. And you're both very welcome. Thank you for being here today. How much do we gossip on a daily basis, Harry?
Well, there was a very interesting statistic that maintains that if we actually defined gossip as two people talking about somebody else in their absence, we figure about two-thirds of our conversations in real life are gossip. Most of the time. I think we Irish just love our gossip.
But it mightn't be malicious, that's the thing.
No. I think it's really important that, as we'll talk about.
People think of gossip, I suppose, as sharing intimate details or you know, something negative about somebody else. But actually, if you want to be technical about it, it's sharing information about other people without their awareness. All right. So that could be nice things like she has a new hairstyle and I love it. Or even neutral things like, oh, she went to see that movie, didn't give it a good review. So we actually spend quite a lot of time talking about other people when they're not there. And I suppose if anyone has a preschooler, you'll just know how much they gossip, the amount of stories that go into preschool about what goes on at home and what comes back. So you can only imagine. It starts at quite an early age.
Yeah, you get away with absolutely nothing. Is the purpose of gossip, or one of the purposes, to establish common ground with the person you're talking to?
Yes, I think that's certainly one of the... But I agree with Anne-Marie. I think gossip really has a massive social function. Do you know what I mean? I regard gossip as a kind of a great information transfer amongst us all. Like, it's really a community thing that we actually... Let's face it, we all love to know what's going on in the community, how relationships are doing, how people are doing, what business are going well, who's getting on with who, and so on. And that's very important for society. So gossip, you know, even though it has such a bad name, gossip actually has a really practical social function, because the bottom line, how else do we, prior to social media, which we'll talk about later, but how else before this did we actually learn what was actually going on in the community? So it was a wonderful kind of safe way in many ways of information being passed round about what was actually happening in the community.
Just making those connections, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, I think, you know, historically we didn't have other information sources and we relied on people spreading information. And even now, that's what we rely on to hear that, you know, a job is coming up, that there's a room available to rent, that there's been break-ins. You know, we rely on gossip for this kind of information. So I think as long as people are judicious in what they're sharing and don't share things too quickly before maybe checking it's accurate, actually gossip can be really helpful. If you even see goods and services, we'll often ask, you know, how did you hear about us? Was it advertisement or was it word of mouth? Word of mouth is another word for gossip.
Yeah.
But it has negative connotations, doesn't it, Harry?
Yes, I think what's important is that... a very good guy called Robin Dunbar, I think is the name, and he maintained that less than 5% of gossip was really malicious, was really nasty. So the real question is, that's really what gives gossip its bad name.
The 5%.
This 5%. So why is gossip so difficult for us? Well, let's face it, if gossip is malicious, if somebody is out to get you, and you know, Claire, in real life, when people want to plant rumours or false rumours, etc., it can be very, very nasty. And I think one of the problems is that we value our, as human beings, we really value our good name. You know, we value our reputation, a good name. It's very important to us. And if gossip is really false and malicious, very, very hurtful, we also feel socially rejected very often. If these rumours are going round about us, we take them personally. I think some of the problems is sometimes rumours are downright false and actually purposely being spread in the false way.
And it's very difficult to reverse the damage. When something has been said, it can't be unsaid and so on.
Yes.
And if that's travelling around the place, how do you unravel all of those impact.
You can really unravel the impacts. I think people need to be more careful, I suppose, if they're sharing negative news. You know, there was one example of a celebrity blogger who gave very strong hints that a particular politician had passed away, and this was inaccurate, and the person lived another 10 years. But you see that occasionally where someone releases information a little too quickly without checking, and it really is hard to roll back. And even medical information as well.
Exactly. And I think the idea, I like the difference between a rumour and gossip. Because a rumour, God, the country particularly is great for the rumour. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. And of course, sometimes, unfortunately, the rumour is completely false. And one of my favourite lines, I think I read in the book somewhere, was that false rumours get around the world before truth gets out of bed.
Yes. Yeah.
So in other words,
that's so true, isn't it?
Unfortunately, what happens to us. Mm-hmm. So I think really that we have to be very careful, though, that sometimes these malicious rumours can be very destructive to relationships. And this can be very serious. This is when it starts to get a bit more nasty. Do you know what I mean? When it moves into the area of personal relationships, or sometimes even serious financial difficulties. You know, the suggestion that somebody would be struggling financially might have huge connotations. Mm-hmm. So these are
examples of using Amory gossip as a weapon.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that is one function of gossip historically. Like if you put your evolutionary psychology hat on, gossip is something you can use against other people when a direct attack isn't in your interests. So, for example, if you wanted to undermine somebody in the workplace, you might share some information that's not very nice or doesn't serve them well, but you mightn't confront them directly because you actually don't want to rock the boat yourself. So gossip can be used as a weapon, certainly. And of course, it does have those positive elements too. I mean, it really, when somebody shares gossip with you, they are building intimacy with you. They are disclosing something. You feel you're part of the inner circle. But it has those downsides too. And I think especially in the workplace, people need to be quite careful, because if you are gossiping to a colleague, that person might be wondering, well, what are they saying about me to somebody else? Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to be careful who you choose. It should be, I suppose, it should be information that's worth sharing, that isn't malicious. And I suppose that you choose who you share it widely.
Well, that's something you learn as you go through your life, isn't it? That, you know, if somebody's telling you something which is
absolutely
very intimate about and very personal to somebody else, you've got to think, well, what are you saying about me?
Yeah, I think actually, Claire, one of my favourite things is the number of real friends that we can trust. Do you know what I mean? Is both hands, but usually one hand. So for me, a really important thing is if you are really close to somebody, or you know, and you really want to share proper personal information, there has to be a sense of trust that information will not go any further. And that's really, really important. But I think the thing about gossip is all about kind of almost, there is a certain sense of fun in it. Do you know what I mean? In some cases, like if it's not serious, do you know what I mean? There can be, did you hear that?
Yes.
And of course, we Irish love that. I think gossip was created for Ireland.
It has entertainment value,
it
definitely.
Does.
Especially when there's not much else going on. You know, we did some research with young adults during the pandemic, and something that came out of it was they didn't have anything much to talk about because nothing was happening. You know, there were, I'm sure you found it yourself in the media.
There were all sporting events,
concerts. So when there is something, it can just give people that little bit of entertainment, as long as it's not a cost, of course, to somebody else.
Do we know why we're so into celebrity gossip? I mentioned the Depp Heard situation, Agatha Christie. We love those things for some reason.
We do. Yeah. And you know, and again, with that evolutionary psychologist view, I suppose we haven't evolved to distinguish celebrities and non-celebrities. So when we are bombarded with information about celebrities, they feel familiar to us and we can take an interest in them that we'd normally reserve for people close to us. So when we repeatedly find this information about people, especially when they're similar to us in some way, we gain an interest. So for Agatha Christie, for example, this is a story about women roughly my age, and I really admire Colleen Rooney's detective work, so I had to dig deeper, and then I was bombarded with information, and then I'm invested. I want to know. But for Love Island, I can't really relate, so I'm not so interested in that kind of celebrity gossip. Mm-hmm. And I think some people listening will probably say, I don't care about celebrity gossip, but I will say there's celebrity out there for everybody. If you are interested in, you know, who's the captain of the county team, that's gossip. Who's the next manager, that's gossip. So really, for almost everyone out there, there is some interest.
You may just haven't found the right celebrity yet.
And I think that the whole royal family in England is a classic example. I mean, if you want to sell a paper, all you have to do is stick some photograph or some comment or some. So I think we are obsessed, to be honest, with the concept of celebrities. And mm-hmm. I think it's because, to a certain extent, these people are living alternative lives to us. You know, lives that are very different to our lives, often very moneyed lives, often with all kinds. And I think to see them playing out all their personal problems and difficulties and everything in public, as we've seen in the Depp Heard and the Rooney Vardy case, I think that's why we get attracted.
You touched on social media earlier. Yeah. How has that revolutionised how we gossip?
I think social media worries me. Do you know what I mean? Because there is a certain break in society. Do you know what I mean? Because you can gossip only to a certain extent. There's a definite break on media. Like, you know here that we can't come in here and start talking about all kinds of things, because immediately regulatory authorities would rightly come mm-hmm. down and top. And similarly, to a certain extent, with newspaper media. But social media is like the Wild West. Do you know what I mean? It's just crazy out there. And the real problem with social media is that you can spread a rumour a certain distance in the community. Do you know what I mean? You could even maybe express it a certain amount in media. But once it goes on to social media, look at these platforms like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all the rest. Once gossip or rumours start to go out, particularly Twitter is a disaster area. Do you know what? It just flies out. And very, very quickly then, people, in my opinion, can be falsely kind of
they have responsibilities too, you know, not to allow
exactly
that to
it shouldn't be happening. But the real difficulty with that is that people get cancelled. I'm very interested in this idea of cancelling people. What an awful thing to do to a human being, to say that you don't matter. Do you know what I mean? So we're going to eliminate you as if you never existed. Mm-hmm. What a terrible thing to do to another human being.
But I think that probably comes back to people being a bit too quick to share, you know, because before social media, we weren't able to quickly share information. And now something happens and they feel like sharing this story. So I think gossip in that face-to-face form can be that way of building intimacy, but using social media as gossip, is there ever a good reason to do that? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. But some people might feel that they're bringing something to light which is true and which needs to be known about an individual or a certain situation.
Yes, and that was in one of those cases, in the Agatha Christie case, that was the argument. You know, that's one of the bases, that it's something that the public need to know. But for most of us who don't have this kind of platform, I can rarely think of information we should share about people in that manner. Yeah. Maybe people's achievements, but beyond that, I don't know.
And you mentioned the workplace, and we have to be really careful in the workplace when it comes to gossip, because it can have very serious impacts.
Yeah, and even, you know, when you think about positive news, like an engagement or a pregnancy, that's also not necessarily your news to share, even if it's positive. So you might give someone the opportunity to share that themselves. And that can be something that people share without thinking. So even when it's well-meaning, it can have that negative connotation. But one thing that is nice about gossip, I think, is if someone comes to you and there is something wrong, maybe they've had some bad news in terms of medical illness or something like that. Sometimes you might try and settle that person by talking to them about someone else you know who's had that experience, and introducing them to a community who've had that experience. And technically that's gossip, but it's also can be a nice thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Can be perhaps productive.
Yeah. I feel very strongly, though, that we all have a responsibility, though, Claire, in the area of gossip. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, gossip is most of the time harmless, most of the time it's fun. But I would just say to somebody, if you were thinking of launching into your next gossip item about somebody, just ask yourself a couple of questions. You know, would you be happy if this information was circulated about you? That's a very interesting question. Can you stand over the truthfulness of the information? Do you know the source of that information? Because we don't do that enough. Mm-hmm. We don't check our sources enough. And I suppose one of my golden rules, and I would really appeal to everybody to keep to this rule, is whenever you're discussing anything with another person about particularly other people, it's fine to discuss something about the person, like their actions or behaviour or what they were up to. Do you know what I mean? As long as you're happy that the source is
okay.
Yeah,
that's true.
But where I really draw the line, and I really appeal to people to draw the line, never make it personal. Not about the person. It might be about something
what they
that
did as opposed to who
and
they
I think
are.
If you obey those rules, okay. Yeah, it's fine to gossip.
Harry Barry, Anne-Marie Craven, thank you both very much for being here. Let's take a break.
Today with Clareburn. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.